Kazarev, from the beginning of Bava Basra. The second Mishnah in the first Perek appears on the Zion on the base. The Mishnah says that the Bneha Chotzer can be koyfe each other to pay for a Beishar and a Delis, and the Bnei Huir can be koyfe each other to pay for the Chayma de la Saim of Riach. And in Shulchan Aruch and Chayshe Mishpat, this is quoted in the Hilchos Shluchim Meshutfim, that Bnei Huir can be koyfin each other to build a shul, to build a mikveh, and to hire a rabbi, and so on. So this is based on the assumption that all the people who live in the city are considered shutfim. So we pointed out that Rav Dolbala Soloveitchik has a beautiful biur on the halacha that if you have a few people together decide they want to bring a korban oila, Meshutfus, or called Mishlam and Meshutfus. So they can do that. So the Gemara says, when you do the Tnufa on the Chazav B'Shoik of the Shlamim, Echad Meinefai B'nei Al Yirei Kulam, B'nei Chabura. Chabur means a Korban Hashutfin. Echad Meinefai De Kulam. They can't all do Tnufa at the same time, and you can't have more than one Tnufa. So one of the B'nei HaChabura does Tnufa, and you're Yotze with that. Smicha, there is no such din that he can't have more than one smicha. So each one of the shutfim, let's say you have 10 shutfim, each one chipped in $100 and they bought a behemah that sells for $1,000. So each one of the 10 shutfim has to do smicha b'chol koichai independently of the others. Why can't they all do smicha b'vasachas? Why can't they all do tenufa b'vasachas? So the Gemara says you can't do that because of chatzitza. Because when you do smicha, if you have the other fellow's hands, the head of the animal is only so big. And we assume you have to do smicha b'shtei yadayim. In the Chumash it says, v'samachas yado, sounds like one hand. And the Targum Yonis of Ben Azil writes, yad yaminoi. But we assume that that's not correct. Either Targum Yonis is wrong, or a different Tana who had a different shita. And we don't pass like that. The Mishnah says, you do smicha b'shtei yadayim. And sometimes in the Chumash it says beferish samachas yadav. I think on Avodas Yom Kippurim it says the kain gadol does smicha b'shtei yadayim. So we assume that the smicha is always done b'shtei yadayim. So the head of the animal is only so big. So if you have two shutfim in a korban, so your hands will be a chatzitz between my hands and the head of the animal. Or the same when you do tenufa. If two people or 10 people are shutfim together in a korban, will all do tenufa b'vasachas. So the other one's hands are a chatzitza between my hands and the chazav v'shoik. So you can't do tenufa b'vasachas, you can't do smicha b'vasachas. So by tenufa, there's a din, you can only do one tenufa. So echad meinefai de kulam. By smicha, there's no such problem. So each one of the 10 shutfim does the smicha on his own. So that's normally the din, when you bring a korban hashutfim. When Aaron Abonov brought korbanas on the shmini limiluim, in Parsha Shmini, it says in Parsha earlier, in Parsha Tzav, I think, and in Shmini it's repeated. So it says that they all do tenufa. They all do tenufa. How come they all do tenufa? They all do smicha. That's not a problem. So the Ravid has a pirush on Toras Kahanim. That's by the real Ravid. The Ravid on Maseches Tomei that's printed in the Vilna Shas is assumed not to be by the Ravid, it's by somebody else, one of the other Rishonim. But the Ravid on the Toras Kohanim is assumed to be the authentic Ravid. So the Ravid writes, when the Aaron Abonav all did smicha, they probably did it like a Korban HaShutvim. Each one does smicha independently. The Abdelbala Soloveitchik suggested maybe not so. Why is it an exception to the rule that the Chumash says beferish that they all do tenufa? So the answer is, you can't say over here, your hands are a chatzitza between my hands and the chazav v'shoik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu required of us, we should all bring this, we became shutfim bal karchena. We didn't choose on our own to become shutfim in a carbon. When you have 10 people, each one gives $100 and they buy a korban that costs $1,000. So each one, if he would have had $1,000, he could have brought the whole korban on his own. He didn't need the other 9 shutfim. And each one is really an independent bala korban. So the other one's hands are a chatzitza between my hands and the korban. But whenever we become shutum bal kochenu, so it's one big bailus, it's one dinah bailus, so then you can't say your hands are a chatzitza. So mistaber that they all did tenufa b'vasachas, mistaber adobala thought, not like the Ravid, that they all do it, that they all did smicha b'vasachas, not like the Ravid says they probably all did smicha b'zachazah. So you have two different types of shutfim. So the Pashto says that all the people who live in the city have a din of shutfim and get to all of the issues that they share in common. They all need, let's say, in New York City. So we all need mail delivered. We need water purification. We need public schools. We send our children to yeshivas, to day schools. We don't need the public schools. But most of the citizens don't send their children to yeshivas, to private schools. So you need, you go bus arrive. So you need public schools, and you need the fire department, and you need a police department, and you need water purification, and so on and so forth. So some of these things are taken care of by the federal government, mail delivery. Some of the things are taken care of by the state government. The highways are paid for, the forests, and so on. Some of them are taken care of by the municipal government. So we have a din of shutzim on three different levels. Din of shutfim, that's why we pay three different taxes. We pay municipal taxes and state taxes and federal taxes because we have a din of shutfim. The din of paying taxes is based on if it's a democracy. If it's a democracy, there's a famous Ran in the Dorim where the Ran says, the Ran quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos that in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to pay taxes. Because the taxes are menas hamelech in order to enrich the king, and the idea, the theory behind taxes is that the land belongs to the king, so the king has a right to charge you rent. You want to live in Great Britain, you want to live in France, so the king of France or the queen of Great Britain has a right to charge you rent. So how do they calculate how much rent they should charge? So they charge you income tax. Okay. So that was years ago that the government didn't really give any services at all. The government just took taxes to enrich the king, that the king should be wealthy. So one who doesn't pay taxes, the Rambam writes, I raise a goizel menas ha-melech. He's stealing the chelik of the melech that the melech is entitled to. And in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, and he invites all the Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael free of charge. So nobody has the right to charge us. If there's a government in Eretz Yisrael, no one has a right to charge rent because HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns Eretz Yisrael. Ki li kol ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns Eretz Yisrael. Ki girim toshavim atem imadi. So that's why you don't have to pay tax. That's only by medvar mamurim. That's in the Shanim Kadmanias, there was the Shita. And even then, and even in the Shanim Kadmanias, when that used to be the fact that the government didn't give any services, the Shita Saram is never accepted. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't accept the Ram Shita. They quote the Rambam, that Dina the Malchusa Dina even applies. Not only are you obligated to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael, even a chutz la'aretz, you're also obligated to pay taxes. The mocker that you're obligated to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael is in Sefer Shmuel. When the people requested of Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel HaNavi was the shofet. So the people requested, they wanted to have a king. So he said to them, he gave them a whole drasha, and he said, are you sure you want a king? And he told them, the king is going to do all these terrible things, going to take taxes. You're going to make it work for him. He's going to take your sons, draft them in the army. He's going to take your daughters as pilakshim. You don't really want a melech. And the people said, no, they do want a melech. So the Gemara has in the second parak in Sanhedrin, Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, regarding that's called Parshas HaMelech. That drasha that Shmuel HaNavi gave to Bnei Yisrael when they requested a melech is called Parshas HaMelech. So kol ha'omer b'parshas melech, melech mutabo, a melech osabo. Are these the evils of the king that he does illegally? He has no right to do that. That's Rab's opinion. And we pass on Hilchosik Shmuel Bedine. We accept Shmuel's opinion. Kolom Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. These are the legal rights of the king. The king has the right to charge tax and so on. So the Parshas HaMelech is talking about charging taxes in Eretz Yisrael. And we assume Melech Mutabo. So it's based on that, that Shmuel says, Lushitosa, that's what the Me'iri writes, and that's what the Bir Agro writes on Chashem Mishpat. This is Shmuel Lushitosa. Shmuel is the one who says, Kolame beParshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. And Shmuel is the one who says, Din Machus Adina, that the government has a right to charge tax. That's Lushitosa. It's based on the Parshas HaMelech. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes that not only does the government in Eretz Yisrael has the right to charge tax, even the government of Chutz Lords. So that machleik is the Ran and all the other Rishonim, and we don't accept what the Ran quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos, that in Eretz Yisrael you don't have to pay taxes. That machleik is only what Shaykh is, the government didn't give any services. But Bizman Hazeh, the theory behind paying taxes is that all the people, that's why it's in Hilchos Shluchim B'Shutfim, all the people who live in a city are considered Shutfim when they get to the needs that they share in common. All the people who live in a country are considered, all the people who live in a Chotzer are considered Shutfim when they get to the Inyonim that they share in common. And if you have a group of Shutfim, so included in the din of Shutfis is that sometimes they're mechuyif to spend money. So how do you determine, let's say, we have a corporation, you have Macy's, Gimbel's, whatever, you have many, I think it's a corporation. So many people have shares in the company. And there's a chiluki deis, what direction they should go. Let's say some people say we should expand and we should open up more stores. And others say, no, we should only stay with the stores that we have. And we shouldn't start selling meat in Macy's and Gimbel's. We should sell clothing, we should sell other things, furniture, but we shouldn't sell food. So what do you do when there's a machlokes? So that the Sefta quoted in the Choshen Mishpat says, you go basarayv. The Bir Agro says, how do you know you go basarayv when you have a machlokes ha-shutfin? He quotes the pasuk in Choshen Mishpat, macherad melahatos. So if you have a machlokes, should we have public schools or not? So all the Jews in New York, all the religious Jews say, no, I don't want public schools. I don't need the whole thing. I have to pay for yeshiva education. But the rove of the people in New York City do need the public schools. So even the me would have to go along also. And the rove of the people feel we need forests and we need highways, paved highways and so on and so forth. So we're all should familiar to these things. Let's say there's a machloikis. Let's say a couple is married and they have a machloikis where they should live. One spouse wants to move to Eretz Yisrael and one wants to stay in Chutz La'aretz. So it's one-to-one. How are you going to have a rive? Even though before the days of the Cherem de Rabbi Gershom, strictly speaking, it was permissible to marry more than one wife. But you see from the Mishnah, the end of the second parak in Yevam, is that it was very unusual. It was very rare that a man would have more than one wife. We have dinim in the Mishnah is based on the assumption that it's rare that a person is going to have two wives. Once in a while, you have a person has two wives, but usually you don't have that. So the Mishnah says, what if there's a dispute among the spouses whether we should move to Eretz Yisrael or not? So you're not going to be able to have a roiv. It's one husband and one wife. So the Mishnah says, whoever has the gerecht taina, whoever has the right approach, even though there's no roiv, it's not 51%, it's 50-50. Nonetheless, one has a correct position, we should move to Eretz Yisrael. That's the one who's saying right. And the other one is saying the incorrect thing. So even though usually in Shutfim you go basarayv, here you go basar the one who says kiddin. So that's what it says. Let's say the most of the people in the community do not want to build the shul. They'll alternate. Every week they'll daven in someone else's basement. One week they'll daven in my apartment. One week they'll daven in your apartment. And one person wants to build the shul. So even though he's only one of 100, one of them wants to hire a rabbi, and one of them wants to build a mikveh, the other says, well, we need a mikveh. We'll drive to Tinek. We'll drive 10 minutes away. We'll get a mikveh. Shabbos and Yontem, he can't drive. So we'll wait till Matzoi Shabbos, big deal. Wait till Matzoi Shabbos, Matzoi Yontem, and go to the mikveh. So since the correct position is that you should have a mikveh in every community, the correct position is that you should have a shul, and you should have an Erev. So even though it's only a miut, will make that request, that's the halacha, that the miyot can be kai for the rabbin. If it's an issue that's, you can't really say which is the correct position, which is not the correct position, so then the din in the Tosefta applies that you go basarayv. That's what the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanayim on daf zayin on the base. Does it make sense that if the chotzer is far away from the rishus harabim, that they should have the right to force? They should all the miut should have the right to force the if the roiv want to have beishar in a shomer pesach. If the roiv want it, it's okay. So then the miut has to go along. Is that utterly ridiculous? Or let's say if you have, if they live, if the chotzer is near the rishus harabim, even if the miut wants to have a beishar and a shomer ala pesach, that's reasonable. That's the more correct position. So then the miut can be koy for the rabim, and the same thing in the city to build chomer de l'asayim of riach for protection. So that's the correct position. So even if a miut requests it, it can be koy for the rabbim. But what happens if a miut requesting, but this city is not al asfar, it's not near the border, it's nowhere near the border? What are they going to have? A chayim of the lasayim of riach. The enemy is not going to come to attack them. The enemy may come over the border, they'll attack other cities. This city is in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, far away from the border. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. Do you say in such a case also the miut can be koy for the roiv or not? So that al pi pashta seems to be the basis of this whole sugya, the first discussion, whether hezek riyah shmei hezek. What is hezek shmei hezek riyah all about? It's really a din of mazik. The pashta says not a din of adama mazik. It's a shaila, is privacy such an important issue that even if the miut requests, people who are neighbors are considered shutfim, being added to things that they share in common. So let's say they shouldn't make noise at night. People want to go to sleep. So that's the meshubah to each other. Not they have a din of shutfim. Two neighbors have a din of shutfim because they share in common this need to have a peaceful neighborhood. So they shouldn't bless the way their radio in the middle of the night to wake everybody up. I shouldn't have late parties. Okay, once a year on Purim or something like that. Okay, but all year long to bless the way the radio and to have parties, that's not right. So the pashtus is that's the discussion. But the hezek riyash may have the two lishenis in Gemara, but the hezek riyash may hezek or not. Can you really say that this is the correct position? So even one, you have two neighbors, it's 50-50. So you don't have a roiv over here. You don't have a majority. So, but whoever has the gerechte taina, the correct position, so he wins, even though he's a miut. So to establish a mikvah in the community, to have chayma de lasayim of riach, if they're al asfar, so that's understandable, that's the correct position, so even the miut can be koy for the rabbin. But the shad is, what about hezek riach? So we paskan like that, loshen and the gemara, the hezek riach, shmei hezek, that even the miut have the right to even the 50%. One can be paid for the other one, and they'll both pay for the building of the kosel. Then whatever the minhag hamdina is, whatever they make, whatever is acceptable that they make walls from. So if they make it from gvil gozes kvis and levenin, so it should be so thick or so thick. What if... Then it says, Hakol kaminig hamdina. What if they make it from other material? You follow minig hamdina. So Tosis asks on Rabbi Natan asks on the opening Mishnah, why do you bother to say how wide how thick the wall has to be by Gvil Gozes, Kvis, and Levenin? You're not going to list off all the different kinds of material. So why do you bother to say in these four what the shear is? And Tosis says, Mikanam Rabbi Natan, that not every minig is binding. Sometimes it's a minig shtus, and you don't follow it. If you have the minig tag, vil gozes kvis and levenin, and the minig amokam is that you make it thicker than what it says in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah tells us, Mishnah is implying that that's a minig shtus, that you don't follow. This Rabbi Natam is in a tshuva printed on the bottom of the page, and the Shilta Giborim on the Mordechai is printed on the bottom of the page. Shilta Giborim on the Rif is printed on the side. Shilta Giborim on the Mordechai is printed on the bottom. It's in Gittin Daf Peivov. When the Mishnah in Gittin quotes Gufa Shel Get, what's the text of the Get? Hareat Megoresh Man, Hareat Materes Lochal Adam. So there, the Mordechai quotes Rabbi Natam about the text of the Get. He quotes the Tshuva Rabbi Natam. And on the bottom of the page, they quote this Shu'as HaBeinetam, that not every minig should be followed. That sometimes the word minig, mem, nun, hey, gimel, is the same osius as Gehenim. You follow a minig, you go to Gehenim because it's a stupid minig. So sometimes a minig shtus. How do you establish that? We just learned the Gemara yesterday. You have to have, if you have an Adam Choshev in this city, Lahasiya al Kitzasam. Lahasiya al Kitzasam is only binding if there's no Adam Choshev in the community. But if there's an Adam Choshev and he wasn't consulted, so then whatever they made up is not binding. So the din applies to all minhagim also. The minhagim have to have the approval of the rabbanim. Otherwise, we assume that it's a minig shtus. Minig shtus doesn't mean the minig doesn't have a good reason. Every minig has a very good reason. They'll tell you, you look in the oitzah minhagim, every minig has a reason. So l'chor, it means a little more than that. It means a minig has to have a kiyum of something or another. If it doesn't have a kiyum, that's such a minig al pi pashtus is not binding. Yeah, what's that Mishnah in Ksubas on Daf Ayin Beis, that whenever a man divorces his wife, whenever the husband decided he wants to divorce his wife, he has to pay her Ksuba. Or if the husband dies, the wife is entitled to collect Ksuba. In the Salmalo or in his Garsha, she collects Ksuba. What if the wife is at fault for the divorce? She doesn't want to go to mikveh. She doesn't want to have any children. Or she's fooling the husband. She's cooking him a tray for food. She's giving him food that she's not mafresh ma'isvus on. Or she's mekalelus yolda b'fonim. She's disrespectful to the in-laws. So that's considered ruining the marriage, something like that. So whenever the wife is responsible for ruining the marriage, then she loses the ksuba. So then the Mishnah at the end of the Masechta Ksuba says, what happens if there's a dispute, the husband and the wife? One of them wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, one of them wants to stay behind the Chutz La'aretz. So the one who wants to move to Eretz Yisrael has the correct taina, and the one who refuses, and one is going to go, one is going to stay behind. So that's going to be the end of the marriage. So if the one who doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael is the wife, we consider it as if she's responsible for ruining the marriage, even though they got married in Chutz La'aretz, they lived in Chutz La'aretz for the last 55 years, and now the husband decides he becomes a big Zionist in his old age, and he decides he wants to move there. It's his son. The wife doesn't want to go along. So even though it's 50-50, since the husband has the correct taina, he wants to move there. It's his son. The wife's refusing to go along is considered as if she's responsible for ruining the marriage, and that's why she loses the ksuba. The same as if she wouldn't want to go to mikveh, she doesn't want to, she's not keeping kosher at home, so she doesn't want to have any children. So whenever she's responsible for ruining the marriage, then she loses the ksuba. And that's a big machloikas in the Rishonim. When the wife is responsible for ruining the marriage, is that a penalty that we penalize her that she loses the ksuba? So if it's a penalty, if she admitted it on her own, then we say, Einan ames matzmei rosha. So you have no right to believe what she said, that she's been mishamish the husband without going to the mikveh. But if you say it's not a penalty, it's just kach tikna chachamim. The takon of ksube only applies if the husband, who is the one who initiates the divorce. But if the wife is responsible for causing the divorce, then they would have a misakin achiv ksuba in the first place. So then it's not based on it's not a penalty for an avera that she did, just because ha gavno la tikna chachamim. So then you wouldn't be able to say in on a metzmatz marosha. So that's the run on the riff on Daf Ayin Beis has a machlekes harishonim about that. Because the Gemara asks over there, if the wife is machilosa sheinim usar, she's giving the husband food that's not kosher. So did he know about it all along and he didn't care? He's not religious. When they got married, they weren't religious. So then why should she lose the ksuba? When they got married, it was understood they're not going to keep kashrus. They're not going to keep taras hamishpacha. He decided to become a bal tshuva later in life, so it's his fault. So then if he wants to divorce her, he has to pay ksuba. So why does the Mishnah say that, what do you mean she's been fooling him she's not been going to the mikveh. So if he didn't real, if he knew all along and he didn't care, so why should she lose the ksuba? It's not a part, not a clause in the marriage that they have to be religious. And if he didn't know about it, so how did he find out? So the Ran asked, the Gemara says that she said she went to a chacham, and the chacham paskin that she doesn't have to go to mikveh. And then it turns out that we asked the chacham, and she's lying. She never spoke to the chacham. So the chacham has that manus to say that the wife never asked him the shayla. So the Ran over there quotes the machlokes of Rishonim. What if the woman admits that all the years she was fooling the husband and she never went to the mikveh? And it was understood that she is going to observe Taras HaMishpacha. So that's a machlokes in Iran. Whether you say, Ein on the Mesim Atzmei Rosha, or not, that's a machlokes. What's the nature of this din? That if the wife is at fault for ruining the marriage, she doesn't get ksub. Is that a penalty for doing the Avera? Or is it of Machilos Hushenim Me'usam Sham Shosa Nido? It's not a penalty for the Avera. It's just Kach Tikno Chachamim. She's only entitled to ksub if it's not her fault. So that's a big machlokes HaRishonim. Here there's a famous Tosfos, Dibra Mascha Lefichach, Rabbi Kiveger, and the Gilyon HaShas. Here, there's some, they printed so many things on the side of the page, they had no room for Rabbi Kiveger. So they threw him all the way in the back of the Masichta, before the Maharsha. Sometimes some edition, they have it before the Rosh even. So they have the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Kiveger, he doesn't understand what the Tosfos have to come on to a Migu here for. So we explain, why not just say that it's Kofer HaKol? So we explain what it's all about based on the Ran on the Rif in Masechah Shavuos. But the Gemara talks about Kofer HaKol and Vayda B'Mikzman HaTorah. If the Toveya says, I lent you $1,000, you never paid me back. So you're Kofer HaKol. And he, and the Nitva says, Lo Lavisi, or he says, Paraiti. So we learn from the Pasuk, Ashiyem Kihuzeh. And that has the connotation of shvua, that there's a shvua deraisa when he's moedim and mixus and kofim and mixus. So then you have to swear a shvua deraisa. If the person is kofir hakol, he says lo labisi or he says paraiti, then in atar he's naman b'li shvua. Midrabanan, they introduce the shvua sesis. That's a big machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. A historical machlokes, when was Shavuah says is introduced by Kofer HaKol. So Rashi interprets on a few Mishnais and Shavuahs that the Shavuah says has existed in the days of the Tanoim. You have Mishnais that are talking about Shavuah says. Tosfos denies that. They say it's not true. And Tosfos has it based on the Loshon HaGemara in the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushim, where the Gemara says, Vahashto. And now that Bizman HaZeh sounds like in the days of Ravina Ravashi, who were those who edited the Talmud Bavli, Vahashta, now that the Chachamim introduced the Shavuos Esses, so therefore the didn't change a little bit. So it sounds from the Gemara, Tosh says, Hashta means that this was introduced Bizman HaAmaroim HaAchreinim. In the days of the later Amaroim, they introduced Shavuos Esses. There's such a din in the Gemara and Tainus also. The Gemara has a machloik. The reason the Chachamim introduced Duchening at the conclusion of Chazaras HaShatz by Shachris and by Musaf. Why so by Meirav there is no Chazaras HaShatz, that we know. What about by Mincha? How come there's no Duchening at the conclusion of Chazaras HaShatz by Mincha? So the Gemara says because we're concerned for Shikris. By the time you're going to daven Mincha, some of the people have eaten already, breakfast, lunch at least, maybe even supper. Maybe they ate even supper. And then it may be that the Kohen was Shasa Revius, and the Kohen was Shasa Revius, is not allowed to duchen, just like a shikir is not allowed to be makar karbanas. A Kohen who Shasa Revius is not allowed to be makar karbanas until he takes a long walk or until he takes a nap and so on. So too, he's not allowed to duchen either. So there's a machlokes hatanaim. What about the yeduchen by mincha and a tainus sibur? Everybody's fasting. It's a tainus sibur, Yom Kippur, any other tainus sibur. So we paskin that it's a loy, but like the tanaim, it's a loy plug rabbanon. Since all year long, they're afraid to let the kohanim duchen by mincha because shchichi shikris, a lot of people may have just had a drink of wine. So even on a tainus, when everybody's fasting, so you don't duchen by mincha. But what So then the Gemara says, "Bahashta, but bismanazeh." At the time that we are editing the Talmud Bavli in the days of Ravina Ravashi, Bahashta, the common practice is that we do duchen by mincha on the time of Sibur. How come? So Gemara says, because we daven mincha so much later than usually. Usually they used to daven mincha apparently earlier in the afternoon. And on the time of Sibur, they would daven mincha right before the Shkia. By us, it's just the hepach. Usually all year long, we daven mincha later, right before the Shkia on the time of Sibur. We daven earlier because a lot of people don't plan to fast the whole day. So they're still fasting till after Chatzai, so that's why we daven mincha earlier. But in the days of the Gemara, it was fakert. All year long, they were daven mincha earlier, and at Tanis Siba, they were daven mincha later in the day. So since the Gemara says, what's the reason why Hashda, in the days of Avi and Rav Ashi, they changed the practice? Because since we have the minik to daven mincha later on at Tanis Siba, so it's like Ne'ila. Ne'ila, you daven mamish at the end of the day. When the Chama B'roisho Ilonis, and it's Sungana set, you can't daven Nila at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Nila, you have to daven late in the afternoon when the Cham is Barosh HaElonis. Nila Sharish HaMayim, when the sun is about to set. So the Gemara says, since the Minig developed that they daven Mincha late in the afternoon at the time of Sibur, so just like by Neila, Yuduchen, because Ne'ila is a Taina Tzibur, is a Tfilah Satzibur. Ne'ila is a Tfilah. We only say Ne'ila on Yom Kippur. But in the days of the Gemara, they said Ne'ila on every Taina Tzibur. It's a Dina Tfilah Satayna. So just like Ne'ila is a Tfilah Satayna, you won't confuse it. You won't say on other days when you daven Ne'ila, there is Shikras. You only daven Ne'ila on a Taina Tzibur, so there's never going to be Shikras. So even when you daven mincha, you daven every day. The same nusach of the Shemana Esrei, as you just on the Tana Siba, you add on Anenu. But all year long, you daven mincha. So so since we daven mincha so late on the Tana Siba, it's similar to Ne'ila. So that's why the din changed, and you can duchen by mincha. The Chazanish introduced the practice in Bnei Brak. He felt that even Mizman HaZeh, that everything is fakert. We daven mincha earlier on the time of Sibur than we do all year long. We would daven mincha late in the day, right before the Shkia. Except on the time of Sibur, we usually daven mincha gedolim. So the Chazanish was of the opinion that once the Chachmei HaGemara changed it, and he said, you duchen by mincha on the tainis, even though the psak used to be not so. So the psak remains, even though the reason for the psak doesn't apply. And most other communities outside of Bnei Brak do not follow the Chazanish on that. They do not. They, on a Tanis Sibur, if you're going to daven mincha late in the afternoon, then you follow what it says in the Gemara, that you're duchen by mincha also. But if you're going to daven mincha gedoyla, you're going to say mincha by mincha gedoyla. So the whole reason that the Gemara gave doesn't apply. So anyway, the Gemara says there, b'hashta, b'zman hashta means today, as we're going to press, as we're concluding the Talmud Bavli during the lifetime of Ravina Rav Ashi, the minhag developed that we instituted Shavuos Heses. The minhag developed that we instituted duchening by mincha on a Taina Siba. So Hashna means Bisman Hazeh. Yeah. So the Gemara has there in the middle of Shavuos, towards the end of Shavuos, if the I say, I lent you $1,000, you never paid me back the money. And you say, paraiti, or you say, lo lavisi. So that's called kaifra hakolsim. And I thought you believe shvua mederabbanan, you have to swear a shvua sasis. What happens if instead of saying, lo lavisi, a paraiti, you have a kooky, a little bit twisted taina? He says, machalta. Machalta is really unlikely. Why should the fella be machal? Why should I be machal you $1,000 halva? I'm not so wealthy. $1,000 is a lot of money. Why? We're not so friendly, and I'm not so wealthy. It's not mistaber that's a correct taina. The rav is that it's not true, but that's the din amigu. Whenever the nitva could have advanced a different taina, he could have said lo lavisi or paraiti, even though he doesn't say either. He says lavisi veloi paraiti, but machalto. Or he says neschayavta li kenegdon. the Nitva admits that he borrowed $1,000 and he never paid it back, and he's not going to pay back because the Taveya crashed into his automobile and he made him a damages, also $1,000. So it's a wash. I owe you $1,000 in exchange for which you owe me $1,000, and nobody has to pay anybody anything. Well, I'm going to give you the $1,000 and you give me back the $1,000. Doesn't make sense. So if the Nitva Taina is Machaltan, this Chayavta Likin Egdon, it's a fishy Taina. So then he's not Neman, based on the Parsha of Kaifer HaKol Neman, and Atar Beli Shvua Midirabon is Neman with the Shvua Tzessus. He's only Neman with a Migu. Since if he would have said Machalta, since if he would have said Lolavisi or Paraiti, he would have been believed that the most direct Taina Ptua, that's not a fishy Taina. It seems like a reasonable taina. So even though the taina that he says is an unlikely taina, machalta on the schayavta likenegda, it's unlikely to roiv against it. That's the din of migu. So sometimes you say that migu b'makom chazaka lo yamina. So we explain that the word chazaka has six different meanings. The one who said that was the pimagodim and the psicha hakolelus to orachaim, which. The truth is that it's not really a general introduction to Aruch Haim. It's a general introduction to all of Torah Shebaal Peh. He has a lot of ideas that are important to keep in mind, whatever part of Torah you're learning. So the Prima Godim and the Psicha Kolelis points out that the word Chazak appears in the Gemara in different places with totally different meanings. Sometimes it means a Ruba de Leisa Kamon Chazak in Adam Parea Tochsmano. It's unlikely that a person is going to pay the debt, the alvoy, tochazman. He has 5 years that he has the alvoy. He's going to pay the debt after a year and a half. Why should he do that? He should hold on to the money till the end of the 5 years and invest it further, make more money with it. So there the word chazaka means a ruba d'leisa kaman. Sometimes a chazaka means the fellow's a muchzak on the money. Muchzak is a gzeiros hakasuv. That possession is 9/10 of the law. Amoitz mechavera, all of our life. You want to take away from the muchzak, you have to bring a raya alimto, and roiv is not enough. We pass on that Shmuel and holcha b'mam and achar haroi machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Perek Amecheres Habayis, I think later on the Mesichta, Atzadi Beis. So the so then there's another chazaka. We gave a mashal. I have a piece of meat in the refrigerator, and then I put a container of milk on the shelf directly above it. And then I open up the door to the refrigerator. I see that the milk was dripping into the bowl that has the flesh in it. I don't know whether it was the meat was soaking for 24 hours in the milk, or it was soaking less than 24 hours. So it was soaking for 24 hours. Then you say, kovish kemerushal. And then you say the milk makes the flesh treif. It makes it basa b'cholov. And you can't just squeeze out all the milk under the faucet, keep on squeezing, till you get all the milk out. No, we assume that kavish kemevushal, and it's not going to help to squeeze it out. Well, what if I don't know whether the meat was soaking in milk for 24 hours or less? So then you shtel of chazake. When I put the piece of meat in the refrigerator, it was kosher. I don't know how long the milk was leaking. When I put the container of milk on top of the shelf above the open bowl with the meat in it, at that time the container was not leaking. So I don't know whether it's been soaking in the meat. The meat was soaking in the milk for more than 24 hours or less than 24 hours. So the din is yigo basa chazoka. Since at the time that I put the meat into the refrigerator, it was kosher, you don't know whether the status quo changed or not. So you shtel av chazoke. That's chazoke de meikor. That's called chazoke and meikor. Then there's a fourth din, a karka is nicknames by chazoke. You can become a karka by making a kinya chazoke. How do you make a kinya chazoke? So the Mishnah has later chazoke, ketz, and noal goder uparatz. Three different ways to make a chazoke. Then there's a cheskes habatim shalashanim, a totally different din. None of the above. Then there's another din, betrayzim nehavi chazaka, betlazim nehavi chazaka. When a woman is establishing when her vesas is, when is her vesas kavua. So we, it's a machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, where the betrayzim, how many times does something have to repeat itself that you should be able to begin to discern a pattern, that there should be a latest al-safik. Maybe this is Hervesus. So that's a shaila by Shor Hamuad. How many times does the Shor have to be nogeach to do a strange activity? Stam Shor Mamaches Kashima Kaimi. You're not going to do a Dovah Hamashuna. So how many times does the Shor have to repeat its negiches that you should say it developed the Vesus Kavua that shows that it's a Shor Hamuad, that this door is dark, this Shor is dark Alahazik. So that's, how many times does a baby boy have to die because of a bris milah to establish that there's a latest hatsafek, that maybe hemophilia runs in the family, and that's why the next baby, you shouldn't be mal, shouldn't be bal, and the next baby boy. So the word chazak appears in the Gemara in different places. So here the klal is, whenever migu, this country, migu, memakam, chazak, there's a three-way stira. There are three different Gemara. Some Gemara say migu, memakam, chazak is good. Sometimes it says it's no good. And sometimes here it's in a bayi dolev shita. And here on the base, it's a sveke redina. So we say, mo'tza mechaber olav haraya. So the Tosfos on here on the base is bothered with the kasha. It's a three-way steer, yes, no, and it's maybe, yes, no, maybe. Well, the migu contradicted by Rav is good or not. So the shach in the end of Simen Pei Beis has all the klali migu throughout Simen Pei Beis. And the end of the Simen, he reviews all of the klali migu. So one of the klali migu is he follows the Nemuki Yosef in the end of Bob Metzia, who says that lo kol hazak hashav is not all the Ravs are in the same boat. Sometimes you have a rov that's only 51%. Sometimes you have 61%, 71%, 81%, 91%, 95%, 99%, 99.99%. The different madrigas of rov. Sometimes you have a miut hamotzi against the rov. Sometimes you have a miut shein hamotzi. Different degrees of rovs. Lehocha b'bikoch nefesh sachar harov. Bikoch nefesh is deicha shabbos. So what if the patient is probably going to die anyway, even if we rush him to the hospital. Or the patient will probably survive anyway, even if we don't drive him to the hospital on Shabbos. Nonetheless, we say, the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Ksuba says this, then, you have no right to go basarov and say, you're not going to drive him to the hospital on Shabbos, because he's probably going to die anyway. He's probably going to survive anyway. No. When it comes to bikoch nefashis, you have to be choshish for the miyud. That maybe by driving to the, maybe by Nimchal Shabbos, we may save the person's life. If it's one chance in 5 million, trillion, zillion, billion, that's a joke. That's ridiculous. So that's not called a suffix sakana. So that really depends on, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk Shem Epsayim Hashem. If it's such a far-fetched possibility of a suffix sakana that normal people are not nervous about that, then you say Shem Epsayim Hashem. And even if this, so very often it depends on this particular person. If there's 5% of the population who are nervous, 5-10% of the population are nervous about that, then it's called the suffix sakana. Even if most of the population is not nervous. Sometimes it depends on each and every individual person. And sometimes it's such a ridiculous miuta de miuta that even the one who's nervous, we laugh at him. And we say he has no right to be nervous, let him just take a tranquilizer, and that's not called the suffix sakon. Yeah, so that's the shach and the klali migu. He paskens like that in the mukiyah. So lo kala hazak and shabbos, that's the teretz, the taisus kasha. So that's the teretz of Rebbe Kevega's kasha over here also. Rebbe Kevega asked on taisus, why did they have to talk about a migu? Why don't they just say it's koifa hakol? The answer is no. Whenever the tainus koifa hakol is contradicted by Ruba de Leisa Kamon, then it's not Neman Materis Kaifa Hakol. It's only Neman because if he would have said Lola Visia Paraiti, it would have been believed, even though he says Paraiti Tochsmani, which is highly unlikely, or some other fishy taina. So that's Neman Materis Migu. Migu the Alpi Pashtus has to be a Xeris Hakosav. It's not a Svara at all. So the Ktsais HaChoshen writes like this. He thinks that it's a Pasuk somewhere, but he does not know where the Pasuk is. The one never says what the pasuk is, but he says it's not mistaber that it should be. It's not a svara. It must be agzeris hakosav. Then there was an important tesis, the bottom tesis on Beis Amud Aleph. Nifritza amul lagdar, nifritza amul lagdar. Chitzakem shenifritza. Who has to be go there? The Baal HaKerem is the Mazik, because if you have there are two Isurim derais. There's an Isur, there are three Isurim derais. There's Kloy Zroim and there's Kloy HaKerem and Kloy Ilonis. So Kloy Zroim only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and even with the Rabbana, they never introduced it in Chutz Loretz. Kloy Zroim al pi Pashtus is a din deraisa. The Pasuk says, Sotcha l'sizrik alai. Rashi's opinion is that Kloy Zroim is only with the Rabbana. When the Pasuk says, Sotcha l'sizrik alai, it really means Karmucha l'sizrik alai. But there's no isa deraisa to plant vegetables near each other, even in Eretz Yisrael. This disagrees with Rashi. What are you talking about? They're two different psukim. One pasuk says karmachal esizikalim. One pasuk says sotchal esizikalim. So karmachal is kloy hakerem. If you throw together, but my pelos yad, you have in one fistful, you throw together chita v'chartzan, chita usora v'chartzan, a kernel of grain of wheat, a kernel of grain of barley, chita usora v'chartzan, and a kernel and a seed from a grape fruit. From a grape, so that's called kloy hakerem. I did kloy zroim in a kerem. I mixed chita v'sora in a kerem. That's called kloy hakerem. So kloy hakerem is minatora is only also in Eretz Yisrael. The rabbanu they asked it b'chutz l'aretz because so many Jews went into Golus at the time of Churban Bayis. So they're afraid that the laws will be forgotten when the Jews will come back. That no one will ever remember that there was such a din on the books. But they never introduced Kloy Zroim Machutz Loretz. So according to Rashi, it's very mistaba. Why? Because Kloy Zroim in Eretz Yisrael itself is only Midi Rabbanon. Only Kloy Akerem is their Raisa. So the Gemara should have given a reason why they never introduced Kloy Zroim Machutz Loretz. It's a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Even in Eretz Yisrael, Kloy Zroim is only Midi Rabbanon. Only Kloy Akerem is their Raisa. So they should introduce Chutz Loretz to Eretz Yisrael. If Eretz Yisrael proper, it's only a Gzeira Midirabbanan. But the Gemara didn't say that. So the Gemara gave a different explanation. So that seems to be supporting Taisus, that Kloy Zroim in Eretz Yisrael is an Isa Deraisa. The Gemara gives a different explanation, which we really don't understand. The Gemara says Kloy Zroim is not as Chomer as Kloy HaKerem. Kloy HaKerem, not only is there an Isa that you're not allowed to plant it, if he planted Kloy HaKerem, it's also even b'diyebe. It says, Pentikdash Amalai Azarash Atizra. Pentikdash means Pentukadesh. Pentukadesh. That if he did plant Kloy HaKerem, it's Tone Sreifa. All on Kloy HaKerem is Tone Sreifa. So it's Tone Sreifa because it says Pentikdash Pentukadesh. And that says by Kilayim. And then somehow Orla, we assume, Rashi and Tosfos write on one of the last Mishnayos in Temura, on the last Amud Beis in Temura. Temura ends on an Amud Aleph. So on the last Amud Beis in Temura, so the Gemara, so Rashi and Tosfos said they don't know. How do you know that Orla is Bisrefa? That Kloy HaKerem is Bisrefa because it says Pentigdash. And we darshan pentukadesh. I didn't know that oil is bisrefa. So Rashi Tesis throw up their hands. They don't know. They say there must be some pasuk in the Chumash somewhere or another that makes a link between oil and Kloy HaKerem. The din is that both oil and Kloy HaKerem are only bottled be'echad masayim. Shum is betela be'echad meyo, and oil and Kloy HaKerem is betela be'echad masayim. You have to have 200 units of heter against the 1 unit of iser. Of oil and Kloy HaKerem, that it should be bottled. So there's some kind of a pasuk. We don't know what the pasuk is. Rashi and Tosfos don't know. They can't figure it out. Some kind of a pasuk that makes a connection between oil and Kloy HaKerem. So again, the Gemara says that Kloy HaKerem, if you planted it in Eretz Yisrael, it's also Reef Medievit. Kloy Zroim is an Isa deraisa to plant it, according to Tosfos. Rashi holds on him with the Rabbana. It's an Isa deraisa to plant it, but if you did plant it, it'll be muta b'hanoa b'riyevet. Let's say the same thing, Kloy Ilonis. What is also in Kloy Ilonis? You're permitted, so the Raman quotes in the Yerushalmi, you're permitted to plant an apple tree right next to a pear tree. in trees, there's no prohibition of kilayim unless you graft it, unless you did harkova. If you graft a branch from one tree onto the trunk of a different tree, and then the fruit that's going to come is going to be a hybrid, a blend of the two fruits that the two branches came from two different trees. So that's Osir. Harkovas Ilonis is an Issa Deraisa, and that's even a Chutzlortz. That's an Issa Deraisa, even a Chutzlortz. And the Raman Paskins, that Bnei Noach HaMuzer on that. Even though it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, Bnei Noach. And if the Bnei Noach will violate it, he won't be Chai Misa. If the Bnei Noach violates any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, then the Gemara has the Klal, Ansarosim, Zui Misosim. If the Nochri violates any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs, he's Chai Misa. But if he violates one of the other Isurim that's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs, like Harkovas Ilonis, or Harkovas Behemoth, he grafts one behema onto the other, on the other. So that's an Issa Deraisa for the Nochri, but there's no Einish Misa on that. So again, so the Gemara says that Kloy HaKerem, if you planted in Eretz Obed Yevet, it's also Kloy Zorim, if you planted the vegetables near each other, you violated an Issa, but B'Yevet, the vegetables do not become Osa. So the Gemara says, therefore, you see that Kloy HaKerem is Mocham, and then Kloy is Roim, that here B'Yevet, it's Osa, B'Yevet, it's Muta. So therefore, Taisa said, that's why they, therefore the Gemara says in Kedushin, when they wanted to introduce Kloy, the Issa, Kloy Mechutzlo, they only introduced Kloy HaKerem, and Chutzlords. Kloy Zorim, they never introduced in Chutzlords because it's more kal. Yeah, it's a very strange explanation. Because it's kal that there's no Issa Bahanor B'Yevet. So therefore that's called an Issa kal. Why should that be an Issa kal? He gets Malkus preventing Kloy Zorim. So that should be, if you hold it, that's an Issa Deraisa, the way Tosfos learns. So why weren't they goyzer mechutzlords? We don't understand, but that's what the Gemara says. They were goyzer kloy hakerem mechutzlords because in Eretz Yisrael proper it's mochomer. They were never goyzer kloy Yisrael mechutzlords because in Eretz Yisrael proper it's an isakal. That b'di'evet, if you went ahead and you planted kloy Yisrael, it won't be also b'di'evet. They're very strange. What do you have to do? Also b'di'evet, not also b'di'evet. But you get malchus if you do it. So it's an isa deraisa. So why didn't they aser planting Kloy Zorim Mechutzlords? If you would have said like Rashi, it would have made sense. Rashi says the whole din of Kloy Zorim and Eretz Yisrael is only made the Rabbana. Okay, so then that, it does make sense. There should be Machman Chutzlords, Gzeira Oto Eretz Yisrael. That does not make sense. Anyway, here the Mishnah has Chitz Hakerem Shenifritzo. You have a fence. So this fellow planted grain up until his into a fence, and the other fellow planted vines, grapevines up until the fence. The fence falls down. So who's mazikum? So the din is we consider the Baal HaKerem. We consider the Baal HaKerem as if his kerem is the Dava HaMazik. Because if it would have been Kloy Zroim, it wouldn't have been Osa B'Yevin. It would have only been an Issa to plant it. You're not allowed to plant Kelayim. But once you plant it, it doesn't become Osa. But if you planted Kloy HaKerem, then the kerem asses the Peris. Kerem asas the vegetables or the tvua. So therefore the Baal HaKerem is considered the mazik of him. He has to pay to put up the mechitza. Yeah, the din is strictly speaking, even if you have what we call in Yiddish an Erev, separating between one farm and the other. And one farm they planted grapevines up until the fence, and the other farm they planted tvua. So strictly speaking, that's mutter, even though they're yoinik together below the ground and they're leaning on each other above the ground. All you have just economy, kamikana rabem. That's Tzuras HaPesach. Still, the Gemara says, Tzuras HaPesach removes the Issa Kelayim. There's no Issa Kelayim there. So we don't understand why, but for some mysterious reason, the Gemara considers this Raisa, Mechitza Kem Shenifritzo, Zatosefta, Kiditanya. It says Kiditanya, that's what I said. It's not a Mishnah, it's a Raisa. But Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, and part of what it says in this Tosefta, in this Raisa, does appear in the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara says, that if my kerem asks your tvua because of the din prohibition of kloy hakerem, so I am mechuyev to make good to pay because of din de garmi. We don't understand why is it din de garmi? Why shouldn't it be like shor amazik? I own the kerem, and my kerem is asking your tvua because there's no fence being mapsik in between the place where you planted your kerem. So that's the Ramban raises that question. We don't really know the answer.
There's all the stuff I gave you.
That's a good question. But the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Kuf says that this Dina de Gamei is Rav Meir doing Dina de Gamei. Machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and we pass like Rav Meir. So we mentioned there's a fundamental machlokes, the Ramban and Tosis, where the Rav Meir doing Dina, we pass like Rav Meir. Dina de Gamei is Chai. So Tosis' opinion is in Bava Kamma in a few places, the first Daf in Meruba and in Perek HaKoinis, Tosis has rice when the Gemara Gami is only with the Rabbanan. And the Ramban disagrees and he says the Gemara doesn't call it Knosa de Gami, the Gemara calls it Dina de Gami. So you see that Gami, Adam Amazig, Alde Gami is Chai Minatar. So this is a fundamental machloikis. The Ramban on the first daf in Bava Basra disagrees with the Bala Tosis on this. Tosis says, Mechitza Kamshan Ifza Amum Lagdar, Nifitza Amum Lagdar, you have to be Masra, the Bal Hakerim, you have to warn him. That's his responsibility to put up the fence. And if he doesn't put up the fence, then the tvur will become asa b'hano. He'll be held responsible. He'll have to pay. Why do you have to warn him? We have a din odamur li'olam, b'im shegig, b'im mezid, b'im yonis, b'im rotsam. Why do you have to have a hasroah? So Tosis answers, because garmi is only with the rabbanan. Eloi konsu shogig oto mezid. So you have to warn him in advance, otherwise he won't have to pay. So the Ramban takes issue with that. The Ramban disagrees. Says, no, Garmi is Dina de Garmi. It's Chai Ben HaTorah. Garmi means halfway in between Groma and Adam HaMazik B'Adayim. Adam HaMazik B'Adayim Makbeim Yishamena. That's a posik in the Chumash. Makbeim Adam HaMazik B'Adayim. But Adam HaMazik Adei Groma, so we assume Groma Ben Zikin is Pot. And Garmi is somehow in between Groma and Mazik B'Adayim. So Tosis holds Garmi is only with the Rabbanan. And Tosis has three nafkaminas, which the Ramban quotes. Tosis only says, Garmi b'shogig is potter. That's the bottom Tosis. That's the nefet z'amun l'gdor. You have to be master him, otherwise it'll be Garmi b'shogig and he'll be potter. But the Ramban quotes another two nafkaminas of Tosis. Another nafkamina is, loy konsu b'noy achrov. Let's say the Adam HaMazik, like they Garmi, dies and he leaves karka. So the din is a milvah pez govim and ayorshim. So it provided that the one who died leaves karka. If he doesn't leave karka, he only leaves the metaltalim, then you have no right to collect from the yorshim, from the metaltalim. Well, let's say he did leave karka, but he was masik ayidei dina de gami. So Tosfos shita's gami is only with the rabbanon. It's only a penalty that you pay for dina de gami. So they never made the penalty if the father died, the one who was responsible for the hezek died, and he never paid. So you don't penalize the yorshim that they should pay. So the Ramban disagrees with that. He says, no, the garmi is their isa. It's not a penalty in the Rabban. And the third nafkamina between Tosfos and the Ramban is, what about garmi de behemto? So Tosfos holds garmi is only a penalty in the Rabban. So they only made garmi when he's a rodam hamazik, they made it. If his behema makes hezek al yidei gami, so gami de behemta yinat chayef. And the Ramban disagrees. He says, no, gami is a real din deraisa. Yeah, those are the three nafkamina. Where did Tosfos get that idea? Like konsu b'nai achrov. The Gemara has that. Then he gets oisim alocha b'chalamoid. If a person plants on chalamoid, shaloi kedin, he had no head to the plant. So then the din is that we yank it, we penalize him, and the bezin will rip out everything that he planted to be mafsed him. He shouldn't gain from the fact that he violated Malechus Chalamoid. But what happens if the person died? Do we penalize the Yorshim? So the Gemara says, like Konsum B'nai Achrab, if the one who violated Malechus Chalamoid dies, even though he left the karka to the Yorshim. Not that he's a Gershom Meis, mainly Yorshim, it doesn't belong to anybody. He left the birusha to the children. So the Gemara says, "Lo konsa b'nai achrav." You don't penalize the children because they didn't do these. So Tosfos holds that gami is a penalty. Me'de rabbanon. So you don't make the penalty if the person died. What exactly is the definition of garmi? A little indirect. So how indirect can it be that you say he's potter legamre? Gromba ben azikan is potter, because it's very indirect. But if it's partially indirect, then danin and dinin the garmi, then he does have to pay. How do you decide when it's gromba, when it's garmi? So Tosis later has the klal. It has to be Bori Hazeka, it has to be Miyad. The person did some activity now, and based on what he did, immediately afterwards, it caused a Hezek. But if a person held a whole fiery speech today, and a year later, someone else goes and he makes a Hezek because of the fiery speech that the other person held today, that's not Miyad, so that's called Grama Benazika. I held the whole speech. Why a certain group of people are terrible and why you should burn down houses. So someone goes a week later, a year later, he burns down someone else's house. So then you say that's a grama bin azik, and that's not called garmi. But if it's such a fiery speech that the other person went right away, it's miyad, and it was bori hazeka. While he was giving the fiery speech, we could have predicted that for sure someone's going to go burn down a house. So that's called bori hazeka. It was clear that that's one thing is going to lead to the other. Bori Hazeka, and it's Miyad, so then it's called the Garmi. That's the psak of the Supreme Court, gave such a psak in America. When is it considered a violation of the criminal law to incite a riot? So that's what they're judging by Mr. Trump, did he incite a riot or not? Is he responsible for the, or is some of his people responsible for the riots that happened on the beginning of January in Washington, D.C. So it has to be Bori Hazek, and it has to be Miyad in order to be considered inciting a riot. Yeah. What's the din over here by Kalayim? If Mechitza Kem Shenifritza Omer Lo Adonio Samel Agadar Nisai Shemen Avaloi Godra then Hareze Kiddush when if Hosef Masayim. What is this Hosef Masayim all about? What it means is like this, just a translation. What it means is the tvua grew a certain size and then the fence falls down. So whatever grows after the fence falls down, the grapes are on one side of the fence, you had grapes growing up until the fence. On the other side, you had tvua growing up until the fence. So Kozman, that the fence was up above the ground, even though the yonik from each other below the ground, and you can taste the flavor of the grapes in the tefuah, that doesn't matter. And they're leaning on top of each other above the ground, just have a tzuras ha-pesach separating. That's the halacha. If you have a tzuras ha-pesach, that takes off the isik klayim deraisa. That's an indication that tzuras ha-pesach is a real din deraisa. The Prima Godim has a suffix about that. When you make an eruv around an area, usually you make around camps, around hotels, around a city, make a tzuras ha-pesach. Whether Tzuras HaPesach constitutes a mechitza on the level of the Raisa, perhaps it's only mechitza in the Rabbanim. So the Prima Godim raises a possibility, maybe the whole institution of Tzuras HaPesach is only a mechitza in the Rabbanim. So the Chazanish writes on that, the Prima Godim was a Galutiana. So the Chazanish was a Litvak. They weren't in the same generation. But Prima Godim was in the late 1700s. So the Prima Godim, the Chazanish, was in the 20th century. So the Chazanish makes fun of the Prima Godim. How can he raise a possibility? Maybe Tzuras HaPesach is only Midirabbanon. It'll only work with the whole prohibition of Hoytzor is only Midirabbanon. But if you have a real Rishus Ram Deraisa, Tzuras HaPesach wouldn't work. Tzuras HaPesach is only a b'chitza midirabbanan. How can he say that? Tzuras HaPesach works to be matek klayim on the level of their eyes. That's the Chazon Ish's taina. So the Galatzian Achronim defended the Prima Godim, and they gave a distinction that there are two different types of mechitzas. Mechitza for Shabbos purposes has to be mechitza hamakefes, has to be makef an area. Mechitza for kelayim purposes is mechitza hamechalekes, hamavdelis. So maybe all you see by Tzoros HaPesach removes the Issa Kelayim deraisa. You see that Tzoros HaPesach has a din of mechitza on the level of deraisa, mechitza hamechalekes, mechitza hamavdelis. But then maybe it's Prima Godim just hold the son of Mechitza Hamakefes. You can't consider it that it's Makef, the Mokam that's enclosed. Again, because the Chazon Ish was a Litvak, he found it, he didn't find it uncomfortable to say that the Prima Godim is wrong. Galatziana would find it very difficult. How can you say the Prima Godim made a mistake? If he got an offer and it didn't, how can that be? So that's where they came up with this suggestion. Anyway, so what's the Pashup Shat in Hoisef Masayim? So the Pashup Shat is the way the Menchas Chinuch describes it. When the fence falls down, whatever grew before the fence fell down, whatever grew on the side where you have the grapes growing, on the other side where they have the tour growing, that's not a problem. After the fence falls down, whatever grows, whether on the grape side or on the grain side, it really becomes treif. But if it just grows a mashahu, the grape was so big before the fence fell down, and now it's slightly bigger. But the slightly bigger is so insignificant, it's bottle the echad masayim. If you have, that's the din. That usually you need bitl beroiv. Usually you need bitl beroiv. Let's say min b'mina. You have to have 51% heter and 49% iser. So that's bottle beroiv. In Truma, it's not enough to have Roiv, you have to have Meir. And that's an Asmachta Midirabbanan. You have Mishnahs like that, but Taisa points out that's a Beferish Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida, that's only Midirabban. And because Truma is also Bachila Mutabano, the Orla Klakem are also Bachila and also Bano, so it's twice as Chomer as Truma. So since it's twice as Chomer, that it's also Bachila Ubahano. So we say it should be twice as chomer. That trum is bottled becher umeya, and oil klakem. You should need echad masayim. You need two times as much. You should need masayim. So that whole din of meya is only with the rabban. So the whole din of masayim is only with the rabban. So let's say the fence mechitza kem shenifetzo. There was a fence in between. So they planted grapevines up until the mechitza, and they planted tvua on the other side, up until the mechitza, then the fence falls down. So every mashu that grows after the fence falls down, al pi pashtas, becomes osur because of kloy hakerem. Yeah. And if it's an eretz, then it's all menatorah. So everything becomes osur menatorah, but should it become osur, but it's going to be bottle bereiv. I have, so the only time after the fence falls down, the new peiris will be usher, will be if so much grew either in the grape side or in the tvur side that the grape is twice as big as it was before, so you no longer have a roiv heter and a miyudiser. If the grape is twice as big or the tvur is twice as big, so then it's no, whatever grew after the fence fell down is, you can't really say that it's bottled bereiv. Whatever grew after the fence fell down is osur, but it becomes bottled bereiv. But once it's hoseid masayim, so it's no longer bottled. So hoseid masayim means it grew 1/200th of the size that it had from before. So midirabbanan, since you need masayim to be mevatel, and you only have 199 units against the one unit of iser, you don't have 100 full units of heter against the one unit of isa. So therefore, hosam esayim is also. So that's only midir rabbanim. Hosam esayim also only midir rabbanim in atayra. It's not going to be also even if hosam esayim. It'll only be also if it's pishnayim, if it's twice as big as it was before the fence fell down. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch points out. And he's surprised that the Sefer Chinuch says hosam esayim is a din deraisa. How can it be a din deraisa? The whole din that oil on klei hakerem is not bottom unless you have masayim. It's only a chumra midirabbanan. In our Torah, the truma is batel b'raiv. You don't need echad emeya. By min b'minay, you don't need echad emeya, and therefore you don't need echad emasayim by oil and fat carob. Everything is all mederabbanan. So that's the Minchas Chinuch's pella, his kasha against the author of the Sefer Chinuch. How can he say the Hosim Asayim Asas Ben HaTor? So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky has in his Sefer on the Tosefta, Chazon Yecheskel. So he explains that he discovered in the Sefer Yireim, Rabbi Blezer Mimitz, Yireim writes that Shiur and Chatzit and Mechitz and Ahalach and Moshe Mishinai. So he says the Shiur of Masayim is a Shiur deraisa. Masayim, if you have Orla and Klei HaKerem and it falls into Heter that you need Masayim, that's only Midrabbanan. Because that's what it says in the Sifrei, that since the Yisra Orla and Klei HaKerem is Kofali Sura, it's twice as Chomer as Truma. Truma is only Asabachila Mutabana, Orla and Klei HaKerem is Asabachila Asabana. So since it's Kofali Sura, twice as chamur as truma, so that's why kofal aliyosei. That's why midirabbanan when machme you need twice as much to be mevatel. So that din is only midirabbanan. That din is only midirabbanan. But this din, the Rabbi Elazar Mimitz writes, this din that the Gemara says in Psochem in the sugya in the second parak, that there are two forms of kloy hakerem. There's a ru'u ba. If you planted a melech atchila as kloy hakerem, then it's when once it takes root, it's already osir. You don't need hoisim asayim. However, if it's already it was planted a long time ago, and I just leave it like that, so then. So that was an interesting Chazon Yecheskel that he says that the Sefer Chinuch writes that Hosim Asayim is a din deraisa, and the Menchach Chinuch says, how can it be? Hosim Asayim is only a chumra midirabbanan, twice as chumra as truma. Truma needs me is only midirabbanan, so Hosim Asayim by Yorla Klakam is also only midirabbanan. So he answers that apparently the Sefer Chinuch thinks like Rabbi Elazar Mimitz and the Sefer Yireim, Hosim Asayim is a sheer. In Hamaleya Hazara Shatizra, that the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, that there's Hamaleya and there's Hazara Shatizra. If it's Zarua Meikora, if you planted it as Kloya Kerem, then everything becomes also right away once it takes root. But if it was all planted, the Heter, and then later on the fence falls down, so then it's only also if I said Masayim. So the Sefer Yireim holds that that's a din deraisa. That's the pasuk. Pentigdash Hamaleya Azera Shetizra. Hamaleya means a shir. That this is shirim that's Allah al Moshe Messina. This is shirim that's Allah al Moshe Messina. Yeah. Okay. That's what we discussed on the first daf. And the Gemara has a comment on the last line on Gimel Amud Aleph. At the beginning of the Binya by Sheni, Chagas Chai Malachi with the three Nevi'im, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Yuma that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that it's going to, when the Jews will go into Eretz Yisrael, ultimately, after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away under Yeshua ben Nun, they'll build the Beis HaMikdash years later. Build the Beis HaMikdash. That Beis HaMikdash is going to be Chorib, and the Jews will be sent into Golus. That's all a punishment from the Chet of the Meraglim. In the Chumash, it's a little unclear, but it's Mefurish in Yecheskel and in Tehillim. And then it suggests how it even says it in the Chumash. Chayoni, v'imalich vod yeskol ha'oretz. He interprets in it, Sib and his Biran Chomish interprets that that's when Malik Vodis Kalorot, the Jews will be sent into Golos, and there will be Kvot Shamayim all over the world when the Jews will be in Golos. So then, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first place, he knew that it was also Lehe Chorev. So he said, Baruch HaKodesh, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash that'll be built after the 7 years of Golus Bavel? Will that be everlasting? Or will that also be doomed to destruction? So he said, Baruch HaKodesh, Imchai Mei Nibna Lehatiras Kesef, Imdelesi Natsa Lealu Acharez. That's Psukim and Shir Ashir. Imchai Mei means Imyalu Kachayma. If all the Jews will return to Eretz Yisrael after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a structure made from metal. She'ein harekav sholipo. Metal buildings don't rot away. Wooden huts, wooden buildings rot, wood rots, but metal doesn't rot. If you drop bombs, the metal will melt away. But if you don't drop bombs, it's not going to be destroyed. So he said, if the aliyah, after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, will be Alu Kachayma. Everyone will return back to Eretz Yisrael, which didn't happen at all. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will last. It won't be destroyed. However, in Delasi, not Salalu Achores. If there'll be a Shvach Aliyah, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, Luach Ores, just like Harekev, just like wooden buildings, Harekev Sholed Bo. Wooden buildings right away, so too the second Beis HaMikdash, number one, second Beis HaMikdash will right away, it'll be destroyed. And number two, Rekev will creep into the Jewish people. The Jewish people will right away. In what way? There won't be any more Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a schus that he sends us Nevi'im, they give us Tochacha, and they encourage us to do tshuva before it'll be too late. So if at the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, hardly anybody will return to Eretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, not going to send any more Nevi'im, a Rekav Sholebo. The Klal Yisrael is going to ride away. There won't be any more Nevi'im. But there were Chagas Char Malachi in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. They were Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, yeah, Gimel Nevi'im, Ole Yimoy Mi Bavel. This was the exception to the rule. Chagas Char Malachi were the three prophets because you can't build a Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Navi. That's the Sifro has such a comment on Parshas Re'eh, on the pasuk that says L'shich Nesidushu Uvos Hashama. So the Gemara, the Sifre says Drosh Al Pi Navi. When you want to build a Beis HaMikdash, when you're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, you have to have approval and it has to be done under the auspices of a Navi. So each one of the three Nevi'im, Chagas Hamalach, each one gave over a nevuah about details regarding the building of the Bais Sheni. But the Bais Sheni was doomed to be destroyed. That's why the Ravid is of the opinion, the Ravid on the side of the page in the Rambam, in Perek Vav and Hilchas Beis HaBchira, the Rambam Paskins and the Mokam, the Gemara had in the days of the Tanoim, there was a Machloikis, where the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was Kitchel Asi Lovoi, or only Kitchel HaShaita, where the Kedushas HaMikdash was only Kitchel HaShaita, or Kitchel HaSidlovay. So how do you paskin? So as far as Kedushas HaOretz, we split between the Kedusha Bishayna and Kedusha Shnia. Kedusha Bishayna was created al-Gdei Yeshua Ben Nun, Sheva Shekoshu, Sheva Shechilku. The war to conquer the Lamed Aleph Malachim took 7 full years, Sheva Shekoshu, and then it took Sheva Shechilku, took 7 years to lay divide Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, among the Mishpachas, then among the Yechidim. So the Kedushas HaOretz, which was created al yidei the Kibush, al yidei the 14 years of Kibush v'Chiluk, so the Kedusha Bishayna, which was initiated during the lifetime of Yeshua ben Nun, that was lo kitcha lo silovay, that was undone. But the Kedusha Shnia, that was instituted by Ezra and Nehemiah when they came back after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, so the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael was Kitcha Lo Silova. So the Rambam Paskins like that. The Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael was Batla, and the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael was Kitcha Lo Silova. Fine. There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin in the third parak that the Beis HaLevi points out from Rashi, it would appear as if he holds that Kedusha Sa'oretz the second time around was also Batla Halocha Lemaisa. Even Kedusha Shni was also a batla. But we don't hold like that. We really hold the beer. Agra quotes that from the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is by the Rabbeinu Baruch, the Bala Taisa, Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. Taisa says every so often, we'll quote the Sefer HaTruma. Not to be confused with the Sefer HaTrumos, which is all Choshe Mishpat, is based on Sefer HaTrumos. Sefer HaTrumos is written by the Talmud of the Ramban. He only quotes Svardashim. Poskim. And the Sefer Truma is written by Talma of the Rabbein Tam. He only quotes Ashkenazim. He only quotes Balei HaTosis, never quotes any Sfardim. So the regarding Kedushas Haaretz, so Rov HaRishayin and Paskin, Kedusha Bishayna was Batla, and Kedusha Shniya was Kitcha Laseilova, except for the Sefer Truma. He thinks even the Kedusha Shniya was also Batla. And Rashi sounds like he holds like that, but we don't pass like that. What about Kedushas HaMikdash? So the Rambam and the Ravid have a machlokes. So the Rambam writes, from day number one, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, it was Kitcha Laseilova, the Makam HaMikdash retains the Kedusha, even though it was Chorev Pamaim, even though it was destroyed the first time and the second time. Whatever Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadosh and the Beis HaMikdash was Kitcha Laseilova. And the Ravid disagrees, and he says, no, the Ravid left out half of the story, but from the second half that he said, we can figure out what the first half is like this. Since they knew already from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim that the Bais Rishon is Osid Lehei Chorev, so when Shlomo HaMelech built it, Yodeya Hayo Shlomo HaMelech She'osid Lehei Chorev, he already knew from the days of the Meraglim that the Bais HaMikdash that they're going to build is going to be destroyed. So therefore, he was only Mekadosh Et L'Zman. So after the Babylonian armies destroyed the Bais Rishon, the Kedusha was Batla. And then Yodeya Hayo Ezra. Ezra knew from day number one that Bais Sheni is going to be Chorev. So after a few hundred years, when the Bais Sheni was Chorev, the Kedusha was also Batla. Just like Shlomo HaMelech was only Mekadosh Et L'Zman, Yodeya Hayo Ezra she'osid HaBais L'Chorev, so he was only Mekadosh Et L'Zman. That's a chiddush, that there's such a thing as possible, that you can make a Kedusha only L'Zman. Let's say a man is Mekadosh, a girl, he says, Harei Mekadosh Esli, only for a year. And at the end of the year, if he's not happily married, he wants the marriage to disappear into thin air. You can't make such a tanai. That's masna masha kasaba Torah. Tanai botla maise kayim, the kedusha nachal. And it doesn't vanish into thin air. It doesn't disappear. So how come over here? Yedeya hoya Ezra, Shlomo HaMelech knew the Bais Rishon is going to be Chorev. Ezra knew the Bais Sheni is going to be Chorev. So therefore, they were only Mekadosh Et L'Zman. So when 410 years were up, the Bais Rishon was Chorev, and the Bais Sheni lasted 420 years. So when the 420 years were up, then the Bais Sheni was Chorev. So therefore, the Kedusha vanished into thin air. Usually you assume Kedusha Aguf like Paka Bechdi. Kedusha can't vanish into thin air. Kedusha Damim can vanish into thin air sometimes. Kedusha Aguf can't. So that's a problem, and that's what the Ravid holds. The Ramban also holds that Kedusha HaMikdash was Batla, but for a different reason, not that Velechatchila, Shlomo HaMelech knew it's Osid L'Chorev, and Yedeya Hayo Ezra Osid L'Chorev, so he only had a mind to be Mekadosh, it calls Zman, it's going to last. You can't do that. You can't be Mekadosh L'Zman. Mekadosh L'Zman, it's Kitchoy Lomis. But the Ramban holds, based on the Sugi and Abed Zohar, on Daf Nun Beis, the Gemara quotes a Pasuk in Yecheskel, that says, when the goyim come and they defile the Beis HaMikdash and they use it for Avodah Zarah purposes or for secular purposes, so they can be mafkir the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Ramban holds. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Rishon, it was Niskadish. But then when the Babylonian armies destroyed it, and then when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they Mekadosh it again. But then when the Roman armies defiled it and destroyed it, so that was Mafkir the Kedusha. Boba Pritzim Chilu. When they Pritzay Akum, the Goyish Pritzim came and they used the Beis HaMikdash for secular purposes. So that canceled the Kedusha. The Rambam holds not true that the Malkam HaMikdash retained its Kedusha from day number one. Yeah, there's a historical question. How long did the Bais Sheni last? So the Gemara always says 420 years. And the Pasuk says the three Nevi'im, Chagas, Chai, Malachi, they were convincing the people they should build the Bais Sheni. So they said, Godly Akvoda Bais Achim and Arishon. The Bais Sheni will be more glorious than the Bais Rishon. In what way? So one of them says, Machlaikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Ramad, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lozer, had a Machlaikis. One says, Bibinyan, it was tall, and one says, Bishanim, it lasted longer. How much longer did it last? The Bais Rishon lasted 410 years. That's Psukim in Novi. By Sheni, the Gemara has a historical tradition that it lasted exactly 420 years. The Gemara in Erecha makes a whole calculation. Why 420 years? During the period of 420 years, how many Shemitahs and how many Yovels did the Jewish people violates. So the Gemara says that by Sheni listed 420 years. Exactly. The Goyisha history books assume that by Sheni listed 150 years longer, 165 years longer than what it says in the Gemara. So this is a big debate. That we assume that Gemara Taka made a mistake in history and listed way longer than 420 years. We assume the Goyisha history books are made a mistake. So that's a question. Here there's a famous question that was asked of the Tesis Yontif, a Mishnah Ispeya, he quotes it. Here, if you look in Ha'oris in the back of the Vilna Shas, Ha'oris from the Rashash's son, Matisyo Strashon. He was famous for the Strashon library. He was a wealthy success. The Rashash was also a successful businessman, and Matisyo Strashon was also a successful businessman. I used to daven in the Aguda in the neighborhood in Washington Heights. I used to sit next to a Yeke, whose mother was a niece of Uncle Matis. So he'd tell me all the stories about Uncle Matis. That's Matis Terosh Hashan. So in the Haoris here, in the back of the Gemara, it quotes that the Tosis Anto, a Mishnah's payer, writes, so he was asked the question by a scholar, how come we keep on praying for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdosh? And we'll be able to bring the karbonis. But the Navi said, Godliya Kvod Abayis Ezeho Achron Min Arishon, the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be the last Beis HaMikdash, Achron. So that's it. No more Beis HaMikdash. What are we praying? There's going to be a third one. If the Navi refers to the second one, Abayis Ezeho Achron, that's the last one. So the Tosi Antav said, then in biblical Hebrew, the word Achron doesn't always mean last. As it says, when Yankif approached Esav, he took first, he had the Shvachas, the Leah v'yaladeho achrayinim, v'rachal v'yaladeho achrayinim. So it says Leah v'yaladeho achrayinim, then it says v'rachal v'yaladeho achrayinim. So that was achron achron. So why does he say Leah v'yaladeho achrayinim? Achrayinim means ladder. It does mean last. Doesn't always mean last. Same thing, the word Rishon doesn't always mean first. Sometimes it means prior. Says Ach Bemreishon Tashbisus Zarmi Batechem. So Gemara says in the beginning of Pesachim, it does mean on the first day of Pesach. It means an Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach. Ach Bemreishon Tashbis. So the word Rishon and Achrayin in modern Hebrew means first and last, but in biblical Hebrew sometimes Rishon means prior and Achrayin means latter. So here it says Gali Akod Abayis as Achrayin and Rishon. That's what the Tosis Yontav answered. That the word Achron over here doesn't mean the last Beis HaMikdash, it means the latter, the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Matisyo Strashon quotes a Zohar who has a different interpretation, that the second Beis HaMikdash did not outshine the first Beis HaMikdash in glory. It lasted longer and it was taller, but it was not at all as great as the Bais Rishon. So how can the Pasuk say, Godli Yekvod HaBais Achman HaRishon? It was full of machlekes, but the tzdukim from the beginning to the end, there was a lot of trouble, the whole Bais Sheni. They were makrav karbanos, shaloi kedin, because the apikursim were in charge for a long, long time. So the Zohar has a comma, Godli Yekvod HaBais Hazeh HaAchron hyphenated. HaBais Hazeh means the Bais Sheni hyphen HaBais HaAchron. Abayis HaShlishi. The third Beis HaMikdash is a Hemshech of the second. The second is not a Hemshech of the first. The first one was destroyed and it was gone and forgotten. But the third Beis HaMikdash will be a Hemshech of the second. So that's why it says, Godli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeh Acher Min Arishon means the third Beis HaMikdash will outshine the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. But he's not referring to the second. The second was not so sparkling in Jewish history. So that's an interesting interpretation that the Zohar has on this pasuk. Godli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. We learned that Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis, Aile Lepurye, that one of the Amoraim was afraid that they're going to be lazy in rebuilding the shul. So he personally slept in the shul the whole time until they rebuilt it. Instead of sleeping in his own home, in his own bedroom, in a comfortable way, he put himself into the location where they're rebuilding the shul to make sure that they're going to hurry up and finish building it. So Tosfos raised the question, are you allowed to sleep in the shul? You're not allowed to use a Beis HaKnesses for other purposes. You're permitted to use a Beis HaKnesses for davening, that's what it's miyuchad for, or for learning Torah. Even to use it for other mitzvahs is not proper. One of the big changes that the Reform movement introduced was that they were imitating the Catholics. So just like marriage is one of the seven sacraments by the Christians, they have seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. So one of them is to get married. So it's one of the seven sacraments. So that's why they have the marriages take place in the church. So the Reform rabbis were imitating the Catholics. So they decided to have all the weddings take place in the shul. So Chassam Sofer was very upset about that. He says, you're not allowed to use a shul to have a chuppah in the shul. Rav Soloveitchik thought, you're not allowed, even though getting married is a mitzvah, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs to get married, but you're not allowed to use the shul for other purposes other than Torah Tvila, even though it's a mitzvah to get married. The Gemara says, you're allowed to use the shul for Tzorchei Rabbim. The Gemara says, once the wife of one of the rabbis passed away and they expected by the funeral, there'll be a mob scene, and they didn't have a location that could hold so many people. So that was considered Tzorchei Rabbim, to have the Hespedim in the shul. You're not allowed to take the Oren into the shul. That's a bizoyan of the Beis HaKnesses, to take the Oren of a man or a woman or a rabbi. You're not allowed to take the Oren of a dead body in the shul. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to take the Oren, the coffin of a Gaon the Aluf, if he's an outstanding, very big Talmud Chacham, then you're allowed to take his Oren into the shul. That's permissible. That's not a violation of Kavod Beis HaKnesses. But another dead body, you're not allowed to. The Chayi Odom is upset. He says, my Mechut in the Vilna Goyen, he was Gaon the Aluf, so that was permissible to take his Oren into the shul. But whenever Rabbi Tom, Rabbi Dick, and Rabbi Harry, Stama, Rabbi dies, so you take the Oren of the rabbi into the shul, but he was the rabbi. He said, that's not right. That's Bizoyin Beis HaKnesses. And he quotes from the Sefer Yireyim that the Din HaMikdoshi Tero, that you have to have Moira HaMikdosh, applies Min HaTorah to Bote Kenesius also. Because the Din of Mikdosh Meyat, that Beis HaKnesses referred to by the Novis HaMikdosh Meyat, so the Ran on the Rif and Maseches Megillah says that's only an Asmachta Midrabbanan. The whole Din of Kavod Beis HaKnesses is only Asmachta Midrabbanan. But the Chayyadim quotes Rabbi Elazar Mimitz that Kavod Beis HaKnesses is a real Din Daraisa. When the Navi said, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Navi Yecheskel said, however, Ba'ilahem LeMikdash Meyat, but the Jews will have miniature Bat Mikdashim in Bavel. The Gemara says that's a reference to Bat Kenesis of Bat Midrashis. So Rabbi Elazar Mimitz writes, that's a real Din Daraisa. Kavod Beis HaKnesses is a real Din Daraisa. The Rambam also seems to hold like that. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the Achronim have this from years ago. They write, the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora, in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvahs was written in Arabic by the Rambam by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah. And then the Sefer HaMitzvahs is in Arabic, it's a separate Sefer. But then the Mishnah Torah begins with the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzor. It's a repeat of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Instead of having a whole paragraph, each one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, he only has one or two or three lines maximum. So on the Pasuk, L'sasin kein l'Hashem alakechem, the Gemara says, Asor l'notu tzevim min ha-mizbeach. You're not allowed to destroy anything from the Mizbeach. Because it says in the Chumash, when we'll come to Eretz Yisrael and we'll find our Rezara locations. So it says, "When he tasks them as mizbechosim, mishibatem as matzei roisim, v'asherem tisu from v'eshu psila lahem tegaden l'sasekain l'Hashem alakechem." You have to destroy. It's a mitzvah. Abeiti abdonis kolam kamos roshav dusham agoyim esaleim alahorim. You have to destroy all the houses of worship of avodah zarah. You have to destroy the avodah zarahs. Then it says, "L'sasekain l'Hashem alakechem." Not allowed to do that to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Rambam quotes the din from the Gemara. Asor the notes of Tevim in Hamizbeach, and the Rambam Adzan on the notes of Tevim about the Beis Hamedrash and the Beis Haknesses. In the Minyan Amitzus B'Ktzara, he puts that in. So he seems to hold that that's Mamash Adin Deraisa. So that Rambam seems to agree with Rav Elazar ben Mitz. That's what the Chayyadim says, whenever you have a Sufik Deraisa, you go Luchom Sufik Derabana Lekula. So he says, Kovet Beis HaKnesses, we shouldn't be so Mizalzel. He thinks that we should follow the Rav Elazar ben Mitz, not that Ran in Megillah on the Rif, where the Ran says that Kovet Beis HaKnesses, the whole din is only Midrabban. The whole idea of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is an invention Midrabban, and the whole thing is only an Asmachta, that the shuls are referred to as Migdash Meyad. The Chayyadim says that we should be Machma like Rav Elazar ben Mitz, that it's a real din deraisa. And he says, it's a Shulchan Aruch, only Gon Baluf, you're allowed to take in. Yeah. I remember that on one occasion, the wife of a major supporter of Torah passed away. So they were going to have the Hasidim in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. So the shaila was, are they permitted to take the Oren, the woman who died, are they allowed to take the Oren into the shul? So they decided they're going to ask Rabbi Hirschsprung. Rabbi Hirschsprung used to be the chief rabbi of Montreal. He was a very big guy, very big Talmud Chacham. So he wrote a psak. They were only allowed to take the Oren into the women's section, because the women's section doesn't have the same level of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses as the men's section. Men's section are only allowed to take in Gon V'Aluf. Even a rabbi is not allowed to only Gon V'Aluf. And the women's section, he thought, has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, that you're allowed to. So because of the nature of the elevator, I think they weren't able to do that. So he violated the din. So they took the Oren into the sanctuary, into the shul. That's what the Chayyadim says, you're not allowed to do that. So here's a question. You're not allowed to sleep in a shul. So how come this Amora slept in the shul? We understand his motivation was pure. He wanted to make sure that he's going to see to it that they're going to hurry to finish building the shul. Otherwise, he's going to be sleeping in the cold. It's going to be freezing there. Well, why was that permissible? So some Rishonim say it's Litzorech Beis HaKnesses, because he's sleeping there. Well, because he's going to be sleeping there, he's going to see to it that they rebuild the Beis HaKnesses in a timely fashion. So that is permissible. So that's one answer that the Rishonim give. Others give an answer that Batei Knesiyos Shebabavel Al Tanayim Asuim. All the Batei Knesiyos and Chutz La'aretz were built al Tanay. That you're allowed to use it for secular purposes. That's a shot at the Gemara in the end of Psochim. Says, why do we recite Kiddush and Shul? We pass Ganein Kiddush al B'mokim Suda. Nobody's eating in Shul. Gemara says, L'hotzi Orchem Yidei Chayvosim, that the Orchem used to eat and sleep in the Shul. So for them, it's Kiddush B'mokim Suda. So Tosfos says, how can they eat and sleep in the Shul? As a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So Tosfos says it was the room next to the Shul. And they give another answer. No, maybe but the Knesset above all, Al Tanai Hemasim. They give different answers. Some Shonim hold Al Tanai Hemasim, a big machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. Al Tanai Hemasim only means lacha churbonim. You're permitted to use the shul for secular purposes, but not bibinyonim, calls man that the binyan is kayim. You're not allowed to use it for other purposes. But that's a famous topic, the topic of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Okay, we will stop here. I believe that tomorrow we will continue in the Chazara.